everybody, and welcome to Good Luck High Five, episode 432.
Wow, that's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you're sitting at home jamming some Arena, or you're, you know, putting on your book bag and heading out to college at Strixhaven, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we're going to get you ready for life on the Strixhaven campus.
That's right. Maria's going to talk to you all about Sealed, because she's been prepping hard for that Arena Open coming up this weekend.
I have played so many games of Sealed that I'm, you know, pretty like a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Saturated? Are you personally saturated?
I am personally saturated in Strixhaven content. Yeah, I played a lot of different Sealed decks, and I have some takeaways that I think will help you if you want to play the Open this weekend, because what a fun event. I mean, it's really using Arena to its best ability, you know, like just, it's like a GP, but basically if the GP was like, show up whenever you want and leave whenever you want.
Yeah,
and you just do it from your couch.
And I'm going to talk to you about some standard decks, because I've got some wild cards to burn, and I've just been spending them on some trash.
I love spending wild cards on trash.
Oh, man, it is.
Speaking of spending wild cards on trash, we should tell people about a new video that we're doing this Wednesday.
That's right.
So we thought of a fun new video that we're going to debut. We're calling the series Jank or Dank. Dank or Jank. I can't remember which one, honestly. But what we're going to do is take user-submitted decks and play them against each other and find out, like, you know, which one's good, which one's bad.
This week, we have movie-themed decks.
Movie-themed decks in historic.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Yeah. And so if you submit a deck that we use, we're going to send you prizes. It's going to be a pretty cool series, and we're trying it out this Wednesday, so check it out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/goodluckhighfive. The decks, I can only say, are amazing. So you don't want to miss
it. They are a true delight.
A true delight.
Before we get started on our episode, though, we have some people to thank. First and foremost amongst them are you, the patrons of the show. Thank you so much, especially to Josh, Amber, Chris, Paige, other Chris, and Chelsea.
Which Chris are you? You'll never know if you were Chris or other Chris.
Do you know what? I think that you can decide for yourself if you are Chris or other Chris.
Thank you so much for becoming new patrons, everybody. It's so simple to do. Just head on over to patreon.com/glhfmagic. Become a patron for any dollar amount. $5 gets you our squirrel level, which gets you into our Discord, which is the coolest hangout in the Magic universe. You get rewards like stickers, playmats, etc., based on the level that you donate at. And this month, a special offer.
That's right. On the 22nd, we are finally holding a patrons only historic brawl tournament.
I'm so excited for this,
there,
Megan.
There will be prizes.
Yes.
Your prizes probably won't be tied to how well you do. We'll probably just randomly give prizes. So if you want to enter a tournament where your chance of prizes is
very high.
Is very high and the same, no matter if you perform exceptionally well or poorly, our historic brawl tournament is for you.
You know what? Historic brawl should be about cool, flavorful brews, in our opinion.
That's right.
Not necessarily pounding other people into the dirt with your Teferi, okay?
That's right.
So
I'm pro Teferi in all situations.
So we want to offer these prizes to everybody. It's going to be a super fun tournament. Historic brawl is just a blast to play, and you can be so creative with your deck. So the way that you enter is you can become a patron or remain a patron from the 4th of this month through the 21st. If you're within that window, you're eligible to play in our tournament, which is on the 22nd.
That's right. So more on that coming up.
But yeah.
We're excited.
Super excited.
Thank you as well to our sponsors, Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/GLHF. The perfect place to go if you are ready to just go ahead and, you know, get some singles.
Oh yeah.
You know what you're playing in historic or in standard, and you're ready to invest in those cards, or maybe you're just messing around and finding out.
Yeah, maybe you want to play some sweet commander with some of the cool different various mystical archive arts that are popping up in Strixhaven, and you want some of those for your deck or for your cube or whatever. Best place to get singles and stuff, cardkingdom.com/GLHF. Ask them for a token or a sticker in your order. They'll give you one for free. In fact, the other day I saw somebody tweet out a picture of a custom squirrel token that Card Kingdom drew for them and put in their order.
Cute!
Like, that level of customer service literally does not exist anymore.
That's the service you want.
And you can get it through our sponsor. coming up this weekend is the Arena Sealed Open, and what a good time it is. I played in the last one, which is Kaldheim. Did you play in that one, Megan?
Yes.
Yeah. It was so fun.
Great time.
You're just playing sealed, like you're sitting down at a Grand Prix, you know?
Aww.
Building your deck, playing your matches. The way it works is you choose best of one or best of three. You open your six packs, you build your deck, you battle. Best of one has statistically the greatest chance for you to make day two, according to Dr. Frank Karsten, who we all trust and pray to every single night to have bless our mana curves. And...
every time you build a deck, you gotta pray to Frank Carson to bless your mana curve.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that's best of one, best chance to make day two. Best of three, if you want to play in that, you can't lose, but you do have better gem rewards for doing well. Ooh. So whatever is more important to you, if you really want to make day two, if you're like, well, even if I don't make day two, I want to get at least some of my money back, my gems back, I should say, but best of three might be for you instead.
Well, there you go.
But then if you make day two, depending on the number of wins you get, you can win up to $2,000 cold hard American cash, which is pretty cool. I didn't make day two last time. Neither did you, I believe.
No.
It's not easy. Yeah. So we'll start off by saying it's hard. It's competition.
It's tough.
And sealed is hard, you know?
Yes.
It's one of the most skill testing formats along with draft. And also, you know, you're a little bit of you've got to play whatever your seal pool is, right?
Whew. And let me tell you, I've only played two Strixhaven sealed. And one of those pulls was good, and one of them was a real bummer.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Sometimes you get a real bummer, and you're like, ugh. But the good news is you can enter these as many times as you want. So if you want to try it, you know, two or three times, you can.
Maria, you have the faith. You carry on two or three times.
I do.
I play exactly once.
Well, I just love it so much. I miss competition, you know? I miss going to these big events and playing with everybody. Anyway. I've got some tips for you specifically related to Strixhaven because, believe it or not, this sealed format is weird.
I believe it.
Because we were having trouble at the start of it. We're like, we can't win.
No, no.
Like, I was just like going in and 0-3-ing and I'm like, what is this? I know how to build a sealed pool. What is going on? You know, we've been playing Magic for like almost 10 years. Like,
wow.
By the way. That's a true fact.
Didn't need to hear that today. Well,
man, what are we going to do for our 10th anniversary? Anyway, two musicals. I'm going to give you my tips. Okay, here's tip number one. So in draft, a lot of people have a preference for the teamer colors. And what I'm just going to tell you now is in your sealed pool, do not be like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and play the best colors, which is teamer, which is what people think anyway.
Which also I don't necessarily agree with. I think that the best colors are whatever is open in your seat.
Well, yes, that is accurate. Like, if your college is open, that is what you should play. And that is what we're saying here in sealed too. Like, don't
force
warp it. Yourself around thinking you have to play blue cards or whatever. Whatever your sealed pool dictates is what you should build. Just play your best cards. Sometimes, not very often, but sometimes that means playing a secret college.
Ooh, one of the dark colleges.
One of the dark colleges of Strixhaven.
One of the spooky colleges.
Like Azorius or Rakdos.
Azorius, spooky. A notorious spooky color
very
pair.
Spooky. And, you know, like you are giving up a bunch of gold cards by doing that, but sometimes... you just have to do it. Like, say, you know, you've got a lot of removal in both those colors or whatever.
Yeah.
Guess what? You just got to do it.
All right.
My
secret college.
Secret college. My second tip is do not go in wanting to splash, which I know is something I was guilty of. I was like, hey, there's so many dual lands here with the campuses and there's potential fixing with environmental sciences, that lesson and whatever. Maybe
love the environmental sciences,
and
man.
Like campus guide, that little 2/1. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, maybe I should be playing three cards just straight up. I believe the answer is you should not try to do this. You should try with all of your might to play your two colors. And if you can play your third color, do it out of necessity or because it's a huge bomb, right? Something like Bookworm, which is an uncommon or whatever. Yes. Okay. But don't do it because you're like, I've kind of got like, some good stuff. I don't have environmental sciences. It's fine. But I've got like one campus. I'll put it. No, dude. This is just my, I cannot stress this enough. Do not try and do that. Try to be very, make the tough decisions with yourself, which is something I have a horrible time with in Magic because I always want to play the most exciting, big, bombiest things.
Yeah.
But I found that my sealed pools are more successful when I play two colors.
Oh.
And I lose less games to just not randomly having the mana.
Spicy.
When I can make it happen.
Yeah.
Or keep the splash very light. Yeah. Now, that being said, if you have access to the card Environmental Sciences, this is the most important card in your pool other than your rares. I'm not even kidding.
I believe you. I will say that even in draft, yeah. I love Environmental Sciences because you don't want to lose games to not getting your fourth land when you need it.
No.
And Environmental Sciences is just a way to be like, do you know what? There's plenty of like two mana learns,
yeah,
and then you can just go and get it, and guess what? You're not going to be completely wrecked.
Exactly. And you're not going to lose those games like in Best of One where you just don't hit your mana colors or whatever, and you're just like, oh, yes. I lose for no reason. I had good cards in my hand or whatever. Okay. Yep. Environmental Sciences, this shocked me. We were playing on stream, twitch.tv/GLHFmagic, the other day, and yep. I was like splashing red in my black-white pool. And I'm like, how many red sources do I need? Maybe two, maybe three. And chat was like, no. You need one.
You need exactly one.
One.
And you joker.
That was because I had a critical mass of learn cards, which allowed me to go get Environmental Sciences.
Nice.
Okay, so Environmental Sciences can represent as many as 4 to 5 sources.
Great.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I love it.
It's so cool.
I love it.
So that all being said about not winning fixing, like if you've learned an Environmental Sciences, your deck goes up like a million times better.
Yeah.
As far as splashing is concerned. You can also play your campuses for only one color.
Oh, which you need to because so many times if one person can scry and one person cannot scry, the person who is scrying is just so much more advantaged.
Absolutely. Have you ever gotten to the end of the closeout portion of the game, the final stretch, your opponent has the campus and you don't, and you're like, I lose now.
No, Maria, but I will tell you about the many times I've had a campus and they don't, and I bought them 4 lands and I still draw 4 lands.
Well, what are you going to do?
Do you know what? Like, those are painfully resonating with me lately because it just keeps happening.
Yeah, that's rough.
That being said, at least I'm not drawing 8 lands.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. The campuses, I don't care if you're playing straight up Prismari, put in your Lorehold one, at least one of them. Because you need to scry. All right. Here is the weirdest thing I have found about this.
Oh.
Now in sealed, we generally say if you're going to play an aggressive deck, well, gosh darn it, you better have the best aggressive deck we've ever seen.
It better run people over so fast.
Yeah, and it better be consistent. Blah, blah, blah. Here in Strixhaven, aggressive decks are totally viable. In sealed, it's almost unheard of in a sealed format.
And I would say even mid-rangey aggressive decks that are just like early pressure, middle pressure. And then it's like, okay,
maybe you do
have time to cast one big thing.
Yeah.
But you're just dead. Like you didn't.
Exactly.
You didn't keep up enough.
You were like, look at my, what's the 8 mana red spell, explosive welcome or whatever.
Yeah. And they're like, you can't kill enough things with explosive welcome.
I have 10 creatures.
Relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Aggro decks, there's a lot of good 2-drops in this set, and there's a lot of really good tricks, too. And there's learn, right? Yeah. And who benefits better from learn than an aggressive deck where the problem is card advantage?
Yeah, like you just run out of stuff, and it's here. You don't have to run out of spells.
You don't have to. So, like, aggressive decks, don't ignore it when you're building. And we're talking specifically about Silver Quill and Lorehold. Those are the colors that most want to be aggressive. And totally something you can build. Tricks go way, way up. The +1/+1 and learn.
Yeah.
That card is just like good.
Yeah.
Which is kind of bizarre. That's the card that, you know, buffs. I can't remember the names of these. Makes a 3/2 after it dies.
Oh yeah,
totally playable in sealed.
Make your mark,
which is bizarre to me. Puts learn being in my opinion, learn is even better in sealed than it is in draft.
One of my best Silver Quill draft decks was just like some early drops and then 4 Owl and Shield Mages.
Yeah, sure.
The idea is that like you get their life total low enough and then they just can't deal with enough.
They can't pay the ward.
No. And even if they do, then you have another one.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I think that any card that says learn on it is a card you can play in your sealed deck.
Yeah.
Just because having cards and stuff to do in the late game.
Unless you don't have many lessons.
Yeah. Unless you got that
sealed pool. Yes. I've gotten a couple of sealed pools where I'm like, what is this?
No lessons. Yeah. Then I'm sorry for you.
In that case, sorry, man. Rip you.
So basically, we always talk about this in draft and stuff. Is like, have the story of your deck in the game. How are you going to win the game? Will you answer that question for me? And if you are playing a bunch of creatures that don't do anything, by which I mean don't pull double duty by not doing like a couple of things. Like, for example, Bibliotech's Assistant is a flyer, which is pretty good in this format.
Yeah.
Plus, it gets you back a spell. That's pulling double duty.
I love Bibliotech's Assistant.
It's very good. Maybe you're okay. This is the perfect card that we always rag on is the 3/2 for 3 mana in green.
Yeah.
Tell me why you're playing that card.
Spring Mane Servant.
How are you going to win the game with this card? Is your answer because I'm playing a bunch of green tricks and this card will help me kill them and then I can attack with it? I'll buy that. There. Sure. Great. You've told me why you need it.
Or do you have that one, like that 3 mana 2/2 that when you gain life gets big?
Which one is that? 3 mana 2/2 when you gain life gets big.
It gets a +1/+1 counter.
Oh.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Okay. I can't remember, but I'm sure I do somewhere in my brain.
In your brain, it has menace.
Okay. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, like make sure your creatures are pulling double duty or they're part of your plan to win the game. Yeah. Tell me the story. And don't tell me a magical Christmas land story. That does not exist. I want a real workable story here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my basic tips. Last tip is play Bookworm.
Yeah.
There you go. Put Bookworm. Tip. And if you're not playing Bookworm, well, you better have a plan in your plan of how you're going to win the game. How are you going to deal with Bookworm?
Yes.
Because people will play it. It's an uncommon. So you're going to play it probably twice at least in your run if you're playing best of one.
Like, look, what a... I'll just say, it's a reason for being in white and playing Expel.
I mean, seriously.
I would play white just to play Expel exclusively as what are you going to do against Bookworm?
Because, like, honestly, it's so weird to say that you will play against it, but I'm, like, fairly confident that you will. Here's another fun thing. Agonizing Remorse can deal with Bookworm.
Oh, yeah, it can.
Yeah.
It exiles it.
I was playing it the other day. I opened the greatest pool of my life in Witherbloom and got to 7 wins. And one of the best plays was 2 dueling Bookworms for like 5 or 6 turns until I drew Agonizing Remorse. And I was like, I can exile it from your graveyard. Anyway.
Dueling Bookworms.
Dueling Bookworms.
I'd watch that movie.
Me too. I think it's called Dune. Anyway.
Okay.
That's sealed for you.
Yeah.
Good luck to everybody playing out there. Good luck, High Five. It's a tricky format, but it's a very fun sealed format. I do think that you kind of need some good cards in your pool. So if you don't get there, you know.
Yeah.
Rip to you, but that's the journey of sealed. It is a format
where you can't just have like a solid pool. You do need a good pool.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which, you know, it's okay. It happens.
It happens. But I'll be playing in the event. If you play against me, feel free to just snap concede. I won't be mad.
Wow. Maria, you don't want that. You want to be tested. I want to be
battled. I want to be battle time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you want, go play this weekend. I think it's so fun. And hopefully you do really well. If you like your pool, why don't you tweet at us at GLHFMagic?
Yeah.
Let us know what you built and how you did. All right, Megan, you're going to talk to us about Standard.
That's right. Finally, there are some interesting decks. Thanks to the traditional Standard ranked lists that are now up on magic.gg.
Great.
These are the ones from April 26, 2021. Look, Maria, I'm going to be real with you. Is there plenty of stuff that's still the same old nonsense that we've seen before?
Yes.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yes. But is there plenty of stuff that you can play that's absolutely ridiculous? Also, yes.
Great.
One thing that I've been enjoying playing, which is new to me, even though it doesn't have new cards in it, is a mono white life gain deck.
I was so shocked when you said this to me.
I know, but do you know what? I wanted a best of one that I could just play like when I'm on my phone at like, you know,
classic best of one.
Classic. That's when you just want to play best of one.
Yeah.
There is a lot of targeting, which I don't always want on my phone because it is sometimes difficult to manage. I've definitely lost games to misclicking on, like
pointing,
mistapping on tapping. My phone. Yes. Really fat fingering it. Like, anyways, so this uses stuff like Beloved Princess, which is the 1/1 with lifelink.
Wow, forgot about that card.
Yeah, didn't we all? Speaker of the Heavens, which is also a 1/1 with Vigilance and Lifelink. You can tap it to make a 4/4 angel. Great. If you're at 27 life or more. Heliod Suncrowned, obviously. Puts +1/+1 counters on stuff. Daxos, Blessed by the Sun. Linden, the Steadfast Queen. Is it very good? No, it's quite bad.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, Maria, you'd be wrong when you didn't say it.
Okay. What level are you playing at right now?
I
suppose the season just reset.
I was going to say it just reset, so I'm like mucking around in gold somewhere.
But once we get people out of gold and they go on to their mythic lives, I think this deck is fine to play on the lower tier of the ladder.
Absolutely.
Rungs. Yeah.
But do you know what? Look, it's still not good, okay?
No, you shouldn't bring it to a tournament.
Don't bring it to a tournament. But if you also want, like, a best-of-one deck to muck around with, you probably, like, if you play a fair amount of draft, you probably have all these cards.
This is not going to be expensive.
No, I did not have to, like, I don't think I even had to redeem anything for this. I was just like, let's do it!
Speaking of draft, best way to get wild cards, we have infinite.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
I see people complain about it. And we're just like, I don't know what to tell you. One, it is to me infinitely preferable to spending money on cards.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For tournaments all the time. And also, I just don't like having physical cards in my possession too much. I don't like clutter. Anyways.
Yeah, you can. If you draft enough, you'll just have them.
You just have them.
We've talked about how to maximize it on a previous episode.
Yes.
With Tyler Mills.
Yeah. I have literal... I don't even...
My numbers are in the hundreds for my wild cards. So, like...
It's absurd.
Draft. That's the way to do it. And we're not
talking about, like, uncommons in the hundreds. I'm talking about, like, rares. I have enough rares that I just don't care and I'll build whatever.
Yep.
Anyways, just go draft already.
It's the best way to play Magic anyway.
It is the best way to play Magic. Maria, this is up your alley. I've not played this. But is one of the classic... Mutate decks.
I love Mutate.
Mutate is back. Gemraiser, I think, is just one of, like, the spiciest things that people really like.
I love Gemraiser.
Right now. It's the 3 and a green, reach, trample. It's a 4/4. Whenever it mutates, destroy target artifact or enchantment an opponent controls, and it mutates for 1 green.
Great.
Which is just absurd.
Blow up that cat oven.
Yes. And so people love putting, like, making a stone coil serpent on 1 or 2, and then you just, like, slap this buddy on it. You have this absurd huge trampler
protection
that has
multicolored.
Protection from multicolored and destroyed an artifact or enchantment. It's quite good.
Love it.
It is
Mutate's so fun.
Good.
I wish Mutate became like an actual factual deck, but I'm kind of okay that it still exists in various fun forms.
Yeah.
In like standard and historic, I've played around with it in best of one queues.
Yeah.
There's been a cool Jeskai one running around that I tried out that was very spicy.
Interesting. Yeah. Was it this Jeskai one that has like Sea Dasher Octopus and Vadrock Apex of Thunder?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And Search for Glory.
This,
yeah.
And I was like, this is spicy.
I love this one.
Into it.
Yeah. It basically lets you have a wish board or whatever, or kind of, with Search for Glory, which lets you go get whatever the heck you want.
What?
Yeah. Search your library for a permanent card, a legendary card, or a saga card. Reveal it, put it into your hand. And then you get a lot of mana based on the snow used to cast it. So you play snow covered lands. And you can just go
pretty
hard on this. This deck is very fun. If you want to try out a fun Mutate deck, I love this one. It is very explosive. Like, does it hang with everything in the world? No, but who cares?
Exactly. Who cares is a big one. There's a fun Ozolith deck.
What?
I haven't built this one yet, but it has plus one. It's the plus one counters deck, right? And it added Star Pupil, which has a plus one counter. And it has stuff like Wildwood Scourge, right? Just like Conclave Mentor, Bosri's Lieutenant, Oren Reef Ooze, and Luminarch Aspirant.
Oh, cool.
And it's just, so it's just like all... It's all counters all the time. And then if they kill something with counters on it, they just go on the Ozolith. And then you just put them on something else.
Do you remember this card? Do you remember this Ozolith? You recall it?
I recall it. Do you not recall it?
I don't think I ever played it.
You never drafted this.
No.
But it's from Ikoria, because then you could put like flying counters and stuff like that, right? Oh. And had all those kinds of counters. One mana, legendary artifact. Whenever a creature you control leaves the battlefield, if it had counters on it, put those counters on the Ozolith. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if the Ozolith has counters on it, you may move those counters from the Ozolith onto target creature.
It just saved them for you, like a squirrel hiding its nuts.
Exactly. So they can be like, okay, kill this thing with counters on. And you're like, okay, I put them on the Ozolith. And then like I make a new creature and now I get big.
Wow. I would love if this creature was a squirrel, you know, if this card was a squirrel and it was called like Nut Collector. Just an idea. Think about it, wizards. Think about it. That deck sounds very fun.
Yes, for sure.
So We're getting these deck lists, by the way, from magic.gg. And all of these deck lists are from platinum or mythic ranked players that won at least 6 games in a row.
Yeah.
So somebody did it.
Somebody did it. This is the one that I've been playing the most.
Okay, let's go.
I think that this mana base is not okay.
This deck... I'm looking at it right now, everybody. Yes. That's my word.
This mana base is not okay and it needs some help. but it is very fun. This is like a Jeskai control?
Yeah, sure.
Is what I would call it. That's what I named it, with the question mark and all. So it has a whole bunch of instants, obviously, that are removal and card draw and counter spells, like Behold the Multiverse.
Classic.
Test of Talents, which I cannot sing the praises of enough.
That just steals all the copies of whatever it was, right?
I cast it on someone's Emergent Ultimatum the other day, and then you never have to worry about them casting an Emergent Ultimatum on you again.
Oh, that's
great. Because they're all gone.
Great. I love that.
It's so good. Essence Scatter, Saw It Coming, Sublime Epiphany, Demon Bolt.
Great.
What I really love about this deck is that like you just spend early turns just foretelling everything, because it has Doomscar also. So you can just be like, okay, foretell. And then later on you can be like, I can cast like 4 spells in a turn.
Yeah.
Because they're also cheap.
Great.
Then it has Alrun's Epiphany, my favorite card of them all in this. Thank you so much for bringing this into my life, a standard deck where I could play Inspired Ultimatum.
So you're taking away their Emergent Ultimatum and you're like, actually, I'll be playing.
I will be casting. This is the Jeskai one. Blue, blue, red, 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 white, white. Target player gains 5 life. Inspired Ultimatum deals 5 damage to any target. Then you draw 5 cards.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I love it. And then it has Starnheim Unleashed.
Oh, make all the angels?
Which you make all the angels. I've been making a ton of angels with this. Like I said, it has Doomscar. It also has 4 copies of Rip Apart for early removal.
What do you think my favorite card in this list is?
Maria, I haven't even named it yet. But it has you're playing 3 copies of Velemachus Loreholt.
Yep, there it is. There it is.
Oh, this is the 5 red white dragon. It's a 5/5 with flying, vigilance, and haste. And when it attacks, you look at the top 7 cards.
Yes.
And you can cast an instant or sorcery equal to or less than its power from among them.
Oh, great.
And it has 4 Solemn Simulacrum. Like, this deck is just... I've been having a ton of fun, as you can imagine.
Great.
All I want to do is draw cards and remove creatures and like cast Inspired Ultimatums. Like I said, this particular one in here needs help with the mana base.
Maybe that's your calling. Pray to Frank. Get inspired. You fix the mana base.
Excuse me, Frank.
Win every tournament with this.
It's very fun. I cannot recommend this enough. I've just been having a blast recently.
Great. Great.
Then let's see, there's like been some blue black control, but that's not the one I want to talk about. There's like a blue black flash deck.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That, when we find it that had like Slitherwisp in it. Yeah, here it is.
I remember when Slitherwisp was trying to be a deck back in the day, but it just never was quite there.
Yes. So this is a, like I said, like a blue black kind of controlling flash deck with four Slitherwisp.
Interesting, has the same voice as what's his name, the Elder Dragon.
Oh yeah, Silumgar.
Silumgar.
Wow, we haven't thought about Silumgar in so long.
Oh, Silumgar, we miss
Silumgar.
You. Just a little dragon with a snaggle tooth.
Yeah.
Wearing a guy around
wearing
his neck.
Wearing a guy as a necklace.
Great. Goals. Hashtag goals.
Slitherwisp is the blue black black 3/2 flash. Whenever you cast another spell that has flash, you draw a card and each opponent loses one life.
So we're just flashing all day here.
Yes, it has Cunning Night Bonder, Lochmere Serpent, Voracious Great Shark, Brazen Borrower.
All then, flash.
Yeah, all flash all day.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, this could be kind of fun.
Ashiok's Erasure.
If you just like to say
an
no.
Enchantment with flash.
And flash stuff in.
Yeah. So if you're into it, Omen of the Sea. So yeah, just getting some card advantage with flash, killing things.
That's cool. Cards.
Why not?
These are some super creative decks.
Yes. And then I haven't even told you about the dumbest one that I've played yet. Maria,
great.
The dumbest one is yet to come.
Save the dumbest for last. You know, that's what they say.
I saw that someone had done this, and this was like something that I had dreamed about back in the day, but I was like, no.
Wait, literally dreamed?
No, not literally
dreamed. Dang it. Magic dreams are the strangest of all.
I don't know if I've told you this, but all my dreams recently are about running away from murderers.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound pleasant.
No, it's like highly stressful. Luckily, it hasn't been. Like, I'm trying to think if I've done one super, had one super recently. There was like last week, literally just last week, literally every other day.
No way.
Every other day.
Did you in your sleep, were you at the point where you're like, okay, this again? Or were
Do you know what? I was significantly less stressed.
You're just like, okay, I get it.
The last one, I was just like, do you know what? I just need to let this assassin shoot me and then someone will take me to the hospital.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, I have heard from people that people are having more dreams in COVID times.
I believe it. I used to never dream all that much.
Weird.
Anyways, that was also, okay, wait, I have to tell you this dream because this one was great.
Great, let's go.
I had a dream that I was entering an intergalactic dinosaur competition.
What does that mean?
It was like a combination of like kind of like a dog show where they were judged. Oh, the dinosaurs yes. were judged.
Yes.
By a judge, but also a race. Like there's also a race element to it where they raced each other.
There isn't a dog show too. They have to do the like athletics course sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Did I just invent that?
I think that's like a different type of dog show.
Okay.
But anyways, and I was like, we had the dinosaur that was challenging the favorite.
Oh,
there was like
wow.
a favorite coming into it, but we also had one that people were like, maybe this is the up and coming dinosaur. Oh,
great.
And yeah, I just.
But what was the dinosaur? Describe it.
Oh, I had a brontosaurus, excellent. Not even a real dinosaur.
Well, you
as
know.
As we now know.
Yep.
and the favorite was a triceratops.
Oh.
But like a very big triceratops.
Oh, cute.
So they were almost comparable in size. So it was a very big triceratops and kind of a small brontosaurus.
Did your dinosaur win?
I didn't know before
we'll never
the dream
find
ended.
Out.
I know. They were in the race portion and it was neck and neck.
Well,
they were in the race portion
of
the competition.
I believe that Bronte won.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Also, they were not real colors. They were like, mine was like, it was like kind of a dusty purple.
Well, they could have been. We don't know.
We actually don't know. And then the Triceratops was kind of like a yellowish color.
Oh, cool.
Anyways.
Did you tell our friend Maggie about this dream?
I did, and she was so mad.
Our friend has horrifying dinosaur dreams, and she will regularly post like, well, it was a week before I had a horrifying dinosaur dream, but here we go. There's another one, like, you know, days without a workplace accident kind of situation.
Anyways, and then it transitioned into a dream where I was in a very fancy hotel, and there was an assassin after me. Anyways.
Are you sure? Okay, well, if you're in the fancy hotel from John Wick, you can't be killed in that hotel.
No, it was not that fancy. Okay. It was like normal fancy.
Just want to let everybody know that those are the rules.
Yeah. That's right. Okay,
dumb deck.
Dumb deck. This is, it has one of my favorite combos. That, like, this is the combo I had been dreaming of since it came out, but I had never tried it, which is Ashaya, Soul of the Wild, which is, this is 3 green green for a legendary creature elemental. Its power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. Non-token creatures you control are forests in addition to their other types. Okay. Forest lands.
Yep.
And then you are playing 4 copies of Undo Inversion, Destroy All Non-Land Permanents, and 4 copies of Devastating Mastery, Destroy All Non-Land Permanents.
This so deck's great.
You're just going ramp, 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 ramp. Right, you have Azusa. There's even Azusa in here. See, Dryad of the Elysian Grove, so you can play extra lands. Yasharn, so you can go and get lands. Solemn Simulacrum. And so you just play an Ashaya, and then you one-sided Wrath the board.
Unbelievable.
And it's so dumb. And it has a classic ramp problem, which is that, like, eventually you just draw lands. Sometimes you just draw lands. But it is so satisfying when you set up the combo of you play Ashaya, and, like, you have some creatures, and they have a bunch of creatures, and then you just wrath them, and you literally attack for lethal because they have nothing anymore.
Well, I mean, like, honestly, that's why you're playing this deck, for that moment.
That's the moment you play it for.
That's great.
That moment doesn't happen super often. I'm just going to let you know.
But at least you have Eugene to help you out.
It does have Eugene. I wish that there was, like, classic green-white, right? There's no card draw.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? I feel like maybe.
Maybe you could put some lessons. I was going to say,
people need to consider, like, a field trip or something in here.
Exactly.
For that ramp effect, and then also go get stuff out of your sideboard. Because I just, like, I do love it.
It seems cool.
I love it. It's so dumb.
Great.
Like, that combo is so dumb. I'm so happy that someone made it and has been doing well with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is spicy.
Well,
it's real spicy.
What wonderful options you have presented us with here in this buffet of very strange, the little decks that could in Standard.
Yes. Right. Like I said, so this one I've played a little bit of.
Yep.
The one I played the most of by far is the Jeskai one.
The Jeskai.
And it is a party and a half.
That one seems super cool.
If you just want to have a blast, you want to make a buttload of angels, and then...
Which is the technical group term. By the way.
A group of angels.
Is a buttload.
Is a buttload, sorry. We don't make the rules.
It's just what it is.
That's the Oxford English Dictionary telling you what it is.
Just what it is.
Okay. Anyways, great times. Cast Volumicus Lorehold.
I mean, every time I do it in draft, I'm just like,
so busted. I lost hard to that card in draft the other day. I was winning and then they played it and I was now I lose.
What can you do?
Okay.
Is it the best Elder Dragon? Yes, I think so.
I think so.
The Quandrix one is all right. The Silver Quill one is not sometimes that great.
It's like medium.
And who am I missing here? The Prismari one is also medium.
And then the Witherbloom one Witherbloom. Is like, fine, you make pests. It makes pests.
Oh, makes pests, yeah. Yeah, I like that one. So that one and
I think Volumicus is like, Volumicus. In draft especially, easily tops.
Wow. Yeah, so I will jump at any chance to play that dragon when I can. Hey friends, it's time to thank our other sponsor of the show, Ultra Pro, and we've got some pretty sweet new presents here from them.
Yes, we do. Look at this life pad. It's so cute. It has all the books.
It has all the colleges. Tomes.
It has the tomes. Okay, tomes is a very fancy word. In my house, we call them books.
Books. And here I'm holding this Ultra Pro binder.
I think you mean tome.
Tome. I'm holding this Ultra Pro tome, which is the largest binder I think I've ever seen in my life.
Ugh.
Look at how big this is. It holds 480 cards.
What?
480.
Get out.
This in this.
Get out of town. It has Rowan and Will on the cover.
And on the back.
I love it.
The tomes.
The tomes. Look, we've talked about these life pads before, but I just love them so much. They lay flat. They're like beautifully organized on the inside. They're just aces. They're always on top of like getting the gorgeous new art on stuff.
Yeah.
Like these ones with Dragon Daddy.
You know who that is?
This is Volumicus Lorehold.
There he is in all his glory.
Oh, yes.
He's a beautiful boy.
He really, I mean, actually his face is kind of weird.
Now that I look at him at his profile picture closer, I'm gonna swipe
left. It's kind of square. It's like square but with points on top.
What? Let me see.
Look at his face. And you wouldn't know that if it weren't for Ultra Pro.
Oh yeah, he's got kind of a snoot going on. Yeah,
he does have a weird snoot. But do you know what? Still looks great on a set of sleeves.
I love him. So
exactly.
I'll use his sleeves all day.
You look, when you love a dragon, you look past his weird face. And at the dragon that's inside.
The dragon inside. That's this episode of Good Luck High Five. Thank you so much for hanging out with us yet again every single week. It's wonderful. It's like hanging out with our friends every single time we get to do another episode, which is just so valuable to us and hopefully to you during this pandemic.
Thank you again to everyone who is a patron of the show, both new and continued. And remember, if you want to play on that special historic brawl tournament on the 22nd,
you do
become a patron before then, or just continue being a patron until then.
Yeah.
And hopefully past then.
You know what we're saying. You know what we're saying. You can just go to patreon.com/glhfmagic, become a patron, get your shot to enter this tournament, win some awesome prizes, build a really cool historic brawl deck. Plus, you get all the extra benefits of being a patron, and you're supporting content creators that you love, which is the most important thing, of course.
Awesome prizes from our awesome sponsors. Thank you again to Card Kingdom and to Ultra Pro for being wonderful sponsors of this show. And also, giving us tons of swag to send your way.
I know. We did our stream the other day, and a bunch of people won Mystical Archive playmats of their choice.
Yes.
So if you're
pretty sick.
I'm not sure if I should follow Marie and Megan on Twitch. If you were following and you got the update, you could have won one of these playmats. Yeah, so twitch.tv/GLHFmagic is where we stream sometimes and, you know, give away random stuff all the time, which is really fun. And also play some cool stream games with you. So yeah, great reasons to become a patron this month, great reasons to support our awesome sponsors and to just, like, you know, consume our content, because like we said, coming up this Wednesday, a whole new video series, Dank or Jank,
featuring decks check
you submit
out.
If you want to submit some decks for us based on movies, feel free to do so. We'll likely do more movie ones just because they're so fun. So we're doing historic lists.
Yes, historic, so that we can play it on Arena.
Yeah, with the biggest card pool possible. You don't want to miss it this Wednesday. YouTube.com/goodluckhighfive. These decks are
delightful.
Masterpieces.